Hallo und herzlich willkommen, liebe Hörerinnen und liebe Hörer. Ich begrüße euch recht herzlich zu einer neuen Folge von Metal Minds The Pit Unplugged, dem Metal.de Podcast. Und diese Woche habe ich den John von der australischen Band Trophy Eyes zu Gast. Und der ist nicht nur für seine markante Stimme bekannt, sondern auch für seine Offenheit. Und ich muss sagen, das Interview haben wir auf dem Impericon Festival geführt, also ist schon ein paar Monate her, 3, um genau zu sein. Genau. Und also seine Stimme hat mich wirklich sehr berührt. Also hört vor allem wegen der Stimme jetzt hier rein. Was ich aber noch viel beeindruckender fand, dass John ganz offen über seinen Weg in die Abstinenz beschrieben hat, darüber erzählt hat und was es für ihn als Musiker bedeutet, in dieser Szene nüchtern zu sein. Beziehungsweise was es auch bedeutet, weil eben ja Alkohol allgegenwärtig ist. Ansonsten sprechen wir noch über die Herausforderungen, Smalltalk zu führen, über die Schönheit darin, mit sich allein Zeit zu verbringen und diese zu genießen und auch darüber, wie schwierig, aber notwendig es sein kann, kreativ zu sein. Außerdem erzählt John über seine Routinen von der Kraft des Fankontakts und aber auch, wie er sich die Zukunft vom Festival und Musikkultur vorstellt. Genau. Also eine ziemlich interessante Mischung. Der Podcast ist heute gar nicht so lang, aber ich danke John sehr, dass er sich die Zeit genommen hat und vor allem, dass er so ehrlich darüber gesprochen hat, was ihn bewegt. Also das fand ich schon ziemlich cool. Trophy Eyes, das ist eine australische Band, das hatte ich anfangs schon gesagt. Die kommen so aus dem Melodic Hardcore, könnte man sagen. Ist vielleicht auch so Emo-Alternative, Emo-Punk, sowas in die Richtung, also nicht im Metal direkt zu verorten, sondern wieder in den Randgefilden. Ich muss gestehen, also auch ich in meinem hohen Alter entdecke noch neue Bands und Trophy Eyes gibt es jetzt seit 2013. Ich bin sehr dankbar, dass ich die dieses Jahr im Interview hatte. Ich habe mich vorher mit der Band nicht auseinandergesetzt, also war auch für mich was Neues. Und dadurch, dass ich ja nun die gerade für mich neu entdeckt habe, würde ich noch kurz so ein bisschen drauf eingehen. Das aktuelle Album Suicide in Sunshine, das ist von 2023, also ist schon ein paar Tage alt, würde ich sagen. Aber die Platte hat mich wirklich sehr berührt, ne? Also wir haben hier wirklich kein Metal in dem Sinne. Die machen Melodic Hardcore, die machen so Emo, Pop, Punk, Alternative, Rock, passt vielleicht auch noch. Manche würden sagen, diese Kombination wird als Easycore bezeichnet, also eine Mischung aus genau diesem, also ne, mit eingängigen Hooks, gelegentlichen Pop-Anteilen, viel emotionalen Ausdruck. Das wird so als Easycore bezeichnet. Und die Platte Suicide in Sunshine, also der Titel, bezieht sich vor allem auf einen Song, der auf der Platte drauf ist, der heißt Song. Und da spricht halt, also in diesem Song, spricht John sehr direkt über den Tag, als er vom Suizid eines sehr guten Freundes erfahren hat und beschreibt eben diesen Tag, wie das so ist, also mit all seinen Widersprüchen, ne? Also mit all diesen warmen Momenten, die so ein Tag für einen hat, aber mit auch all dieser Härte, Kälte, Dunkelheit, die über einen einbricht, wenn man eben von dem Tod von einem guten Freund erfährt. Und gleichzeitig, also die ist von 23 die Platte, während der Covid-19-Pandemie hatte sich die Band tatsächlich auch damit beschäftigt, sich aufzulösen. Und Suicide in Sunshine ist für die Band also in einem Moment entstanden, in dem sie sozusagen für sich gesagt haben, wir vergraben uns nicht in der Vergangenheit und gleichzeitig wollten sie aber auch nicht blind optimistisch in die Zukunft schreiten. Also wenn ihr mal in die Musik reinhört wollt, ich empfehle euch wirklich die Suicide in Sunshine Platte von 2023 von Trophy Eyes. Da sind wirklich mehrere Songs drauf, die mich extrem berührt hat. Hängt vielleicht auch mit meinem derzeitigen emotionalen Zustand zusammen. Ihr wisst ja, wie das ist. Musik muss einen emotional berühren. Aber ich finde wirklich, das sind tolle Songs drauf. Sind auch Songs drauf, die elektronische Elemente mit kombinieren. Also ich finde, das ist ein ziemlich ausgereiftes und ausgefeiltes musikalisches Werk. Ne? Genau, das soll es jetzt aber sein zur Band. Ich will euch hier nicht langweilen. Wir steigen jetzt ein in das Interview mit den John von Trophy Eyes. Das ist auf dem Impericon Festival 2025 geführt worden, also ist schon knapp 3 Monate her. Ändert aber überhaupt nichts an der Aktualität der Themen, die ich da mit John bespreche. Das Interview ist auf Englisch und ja, ich wünsche euch damit ganz viel Spaß.
So, how are you today?
Well, yeah. I've had some sun. I've walked around and explored the festival a little bit and yeah, feeling good.
That's fine. Mm. Okay, how do you mentally prep for a festival show like this?
I think that it depends on each show and how I'm feeling at the time. It was a couple of years ago, I'd have just been quite drunk and then I could go on stage and it was very easy. I've been sober for a little while now, so I think it's just about putting your anxiety of playing to one side and trusting yourself and... Yeah, I think that's kind of how I prepare now. Just spend time with the band and my friends and, yeah, keep my energy up and go out there and do my best, yeah. It's very different. Before I do have a lot of nerves, pre-show nerves. I'm not really the type of person to, I don't know, be in a public space and kind of put myself on display like that. So a lot of the time I had to drink to make myself... ready for that, but yeah, I think nowadays it's just doing my morning right and remembering why I'm here and that this is what I want to do.
Yeah. And I think if there are many people, you deserve it.
Yeah, thank you.
You said it, you are sober for a while, and I think it's in the live branch, in the scene of metal, hardcore, punk, it's quite hard to be sober because there are so many invitations to drink.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
How you handle this?
It was very hard to begin with, just I guess socially, and yeah, I suppose the music industry, it's kind of like you said, it's very, very common to drink, and there really isn't any responsibilities. Like all you have to do is be on stage at the right time and perform, and then the rest of your day is pretty empty. And so a lot of the time you're just kind of waiting to play, waiting to sound check, waiting to go to the next place, or waiting for your flight and so on. So people just tend to fill that space with drinking because it makes that time enjoyable instead of boring or a chore. So I do really feel the full weight of the time you wait around now, and that's been difficult to get used to. But I just fill it with productive things. I explore a lot more. Try and write music or read or, yeah. So I think it's more of a just replacing it with other things that you enjoy. And with the social aspect, that was very difficult as well. But I think just the more that you do something, the better you get at it. The more exposed to something you are, the easier it becomes. And I think just through the process of just keeping at it, it became easier.
I think to do things repeatedly, the habit will be built.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's 2 years ago or maybe 3 years ago, I speak to Nate from Boys It's Fire, now the Iron Roses, and he is also sober.
Okay.
And he also told me that it was quite hard. A very long time he thought he needed the shot before the show. Mm. And later he said he realized that he don't need it. It's only, as you said... there are so many people and how I can claim down and I'm thrilled and what should I do? And also this time with being on tour, if you got bigger as a band, there are so many people, they are doing things for you.
Mm.
And what's up with you? You have nothing to do then. And
yeah,
so
that's right.
You need to fill this up this time. And he also said since then he enjoyed to be on tour, to explore cities, to... have the time with the people around to enjoy it really.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
That's right, yeah. For a lot of years, I thought I loved touring, but it was more I just loved being drunk. And when you stop drinking, you kind of realize a lot of what I was doing was just finding an excuse to drink. So removing that made everything a lot more real, but now it's a lot more rewarding for sure. And
What role does exhaustion, physically, emotionally, or creative, play in your day-to-day?
I think again that depends on what day. When I'm writing music at home, I'll often write for 12 hours without really realizing how much time has passed, and then creatively, I become quite drained mentally, and so that can affect me. I think out on the road, touring, it would be like my social meter, I suppose. Talking to people and trying to be social and energetic and an active listener and things like that, that's very exhausting for me personally. Small talk is very hard for me. Things like that I find quite difficult, and that normally makes me I find that after a few hours of that I'm exhausted. And I'll go and hide somewhere, and then usually text everybody, sorry that I went missing. But yeah, that's quite difficult. And I think with the shows, physically, I don't really get that exhausted. There's not much physically that I do. Like, I play for an hour a night, and that's kind of my only exercise in the day. Loading in and out isn't very hard. It takes 5 minutes. So, I would say it's definitely more on the creative end and social side, mental side of things. It's a lot more fatiguing. But, I think also after a few late nights in a row, you definitely get very physically tired. But you can catch up on sleep anywhere, really. So it never seems to be a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I understand totally with the thing with the small talk.
Yeah,
it's quite hard, and sometimes I feel very uncomfortable in these situations, and I also exist the situation, and then afterwards I think, why you leave? But in the moment I can't stand it all.
it is very difficult. I always stumble on my words, lose track of the story I'm telling, or all kinds of things. And I think it's just like another a side effect of anxiety, of thinking like in the middle of speaking, like, what am I saying? And then it kind of derails you, and it can be intense. So I'm probably come across as not a very sociable person, but I think it's just I'm terrified of small talk, really.
Okay, and do you have some routines for your creative process?
Yes. More recently, I've developed a few. Of a morning, I'll sit down and I'll journal, and I kind of write it as like a travel journal piece. It's always like quite descriptive and not really shorthand, but in the style of like McCormick or Bukowski, things like that. And then I'll use a sample website, and I'll put a bunch of different 10-second samples together. I'll layer them to make what I call a song starter. And I try and do that in genres that I don't listen to, or that I'm new to, or that I don't create in. Just kind of activate all different parts of my brain and open up my mind to different possibilities of when writing. And that really does help. Songwriting is a lot like a complex puzzle, and I think that gives you different ways to solve it each time by expanding the genres that you create in. And yeah, sometimes I'll draw. A long time ago, I would just try and activate my creative mind with anything, with Lego or drawing exercises, like drawing a circle and then seeing how many different things I can make out of that small circle. So things like that, they always help me. I don't really listen to a lot of music, or I don't watch a lot of TV, or I don't really consume too much. So, but I read a lot when I can. But yeah, so I think I just try and sit down and activate my mind and kind of push through that those first few stages of procrastination and that blank page syndrome of like, oh, where am I going to start? Yeah. Yeah. I think just breaking through that kind of lets everything else come out naturally.
Yeah, it's quite important. The one aspect you said is we can train our creativity. That's totally right. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if we sit in front of a blank page, that it could scare us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't start to do anything, nothing will happen.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Yeah.
If you don't try, then you don't, in a sense, win. You know what I mean? But if you do try, at least you have a chance. So I just give myself the chance as much as I can.
Yeah. Okay. What defines a truly great gig for you?
I think what I look for in a show is just connection with the people there. We could play a terrible show where everybody makes multiple mistakes constantly. But if the engagement between us and the showgoers is strong and everybody's having a good time, you kind of hit a flow state and you're just expressing naturally and everybody, it feels like a hive mind. Everybody's in one state of mind and everybody's enjoying, and there's like a feeling of bliss, and I think that's what I want from a show. So there's many times we'll play a perfect show and nobody cares and you go, well, that wasn't very fun, because you just it feels a lot like band practice, and like playing the music is fun, but I think more what you want to do when you're on tour is perform your music and perform your art. And it really doesn't feel much like art when you just kind of play to a lot of blank faces. So, I think what makes a great show for me is that everybody has a good time and that someone takes some kind of real experience home with them.
Mm-hmm. And what does fan connection mean to you?
Well, it means everything, I guess. I think genuinely that I would be doing this regardless in some form, making music or trying to make art, I guess, in some form, if there were fans or not. I think it's just naturally what I would choose to do with my life. But having people to share it with is just endlessly important. And it brings like a different level of joy to what we do. So I think, and obviously, you know, it's not really, unfortunately, it has to be financially viable to do the thing you love forever, because, you know, if you want to take part in society, you have to have money and you have to eat and you have to pay rent and so on. And you have to pay for flights and for staff to drive you and things like that. So without fans, that wouldn't be possible. And there is, you know, there's none of us come from families of money or anything like that. So you have to work very hard to, in the first few years, to pay for it yourself. And then, yeah, if you're lucky, other people begin to pay to see you, and you can use that money to continue doing what you love. So they are the reason I get to do what I do, so that's incredibly important.
Yeah. And is there something about today's festival culture that bugs you or that you absolutely love?
No, I can't say there's anything that is on my nerves. Something I love would be the sunshine today. It's been, I haven't had a lot of days of sun. So the sun is really lovely. We're here with our very good friends, Boston Manor. We live on opposite sides of the world, so it's been a pure joy to hang out with them and be with them. There's catering, you know, there's food given to us just for playing, so that's incredible as well. Yeah, there's really nothing I could complain about, even if I tried, I don't think. Yeah,
I think good food is always very important.
Yes, absolutely. And you don't realize until you don't have good food for a long time. Yeah.
Okay, and picture yourself at a festival 5 years from now. What do you hope has changed and what do you hope stayed at the same?
I hope that the sense of community stays the same. I hope that people still come together and realize why they are together. It's because of a shared interest of music and I hope that remains. I hope that remains. I hope that there's less less industry involved with music. You know, a lot of artists aren't in the future. I mean, a lot of artists aren't business minded, including myself. And so we do rely on people to kind of manage us and organize things for us and take care of those things because it's quite hard to do those, at least for me. But yeah, I hope there's less like industry involvement. And just less strain on the artists. I think charging artists for merch sales is a crazy thing to do, and the artist is the person who makes the least money out of everybody. And no, it's not about the money. It certainly helps. It can't be done without it. So I think, I just hope more. I hope more power comes back to the artists. In festivals and just in music in general, and less injection from corporate worlds. We call them industry plants and things like that. And yeah, just the bastardization of punk rock and alternative music in general. You know, it's so obvious, and artists are reduced to making funny videos on a phone when, you know, really they got together to write music. I think the whole thing is in a very strange and dangerous place of becoming ingenuine, and ultimately destroying art altogether and becoming something that makes us consume and based off of just like a capitalist transaction based agenda. That's not what music's about, and I hope to see a lot less of that in the future, and we are starting to see that, you know, especially with the resurgence of heavy music and punk rock and what the industry likes to call guitar music. You know, it's coming back on its own. And I think that's because people want it, and it's very nice to see. So hopefully more of that in the future.
Yeah, I think also it's quite hard to keep the balance between creative freedom and the business things, because some musicians, you said, they have managers, they have label deals, they have promoters, and on and on. But sometimes it's unclear if they have their own agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if they have your agenda.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I also, what would be good to see more, and it's not really an issue in Europe, but around the rest of the world, people getting in early and supporting the local bands and the early bands, you know, little acts like that, can, it changes everything. It really does change everything for the careers of those bands, and has a enormous positive effect. And following them on their social medias or adding their songs to a playlist on wherever you stream your music, or all of those things help and are great for really putting a spotlight on those younger bands and bands that don't have a record label and aren't forced to make a certain sound. They're making a very natural and honest sound, and I think that all attention should be focused on art that is that, instead of things that are made to sell tickets.
Okay, thank you so much. Me sum up from the chaos and the pit to the claim after the storm. Trophy Eyes remind us why live music still matters. Thank you, John, so much.
My pleasure.
Ja, liebe Hörerinnen, liebe Hörer, das war der Metal.de Podcast Metal Minds The Pit Unplugged mit dem John von Trophy Eyes. Ich finde, ich muss es nochmal sagen, dass ich das wirklich herausragend finde, über welche tiefen Themen da John auch von sich ausgesprochen hat. Ne? Also er hat dieses Thema mit Abstinenz von sich aus direkt am Anfang aufgemacht und dann sind wir da so drauf eingegangen. Ich fand das sehr, sehr berührend und habe mich natürlich auch da drin selbst wiedergefunden. Auch ich habe echt große Probleme mit Smalltalk und ich glaube, da geht es sehr vielen da draußen so. Und ja, abgesehen von der schönen Stimme war das auch bewegend, was John erzählt hat. Genau. In diesem Sinne, Podcast ist zu Ende. Mein Name war, ist und wird es immer sein, Diana Heinbucher. Ich habe euch hier durch den Pit geführt. Ich wünsche euch eine schöne Woche. Nächste Woche habe ich Stick to Your Guns bei mir, auch eine Band, die ich sehr fühle. Und mit Stick to Your Guns spreche ich nächste Woche über das aktuelle Album Keep Planting Flowers. Das ist aus dem Januar, aber ihr werdet nächste Woche erfahren, warum es sich immer noch lohnt, über diese Platte zu sprechen. Ganz genau. So. Also in diesem Sinne, das war's. Ich wünsche euch alles Gute. Bleibt Metal, seid lieb zueinander. Bis bald. The Pit.